give his due credit, Tanner Roark. I think
Tanner,
since I faced him for the first time with the Nationals early in his career, I don't have any hits against him.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. This is episode 20, the big 2-0. We've hit another milestone, guys. Congratulations.
Who would have thought?
I feel like we gain like two episodes every time you tell me what episode it is. Like, I thought we were on like 17.
It feels like we've been doing this for so long.
Yeah, true. At the same time, I feel like we're on episode 500.
Yeah.
Well, since this is episode 20, I think that's probably means like 17 weeks, maybe 16 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Time flies when you're having fun, I'll tell you what.
We have Jason Hayward on the podcast this week, which is absolutely a wonderful interview. Just Zach and I interviewed him, though, because Dakota was practicing.
I heard it wasn't that good of an interview because I wasn't there to, you know, carry the conversation.
We actually, we threw in your question, Dakota, and we also threw in your story about the Jeter Jays.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Did he laugh?
He knew exactly what you were talking about, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And he did. He really enjoyed it.
I felt so cool. That was, I'm walking through the locker room and he says that. I'm like, I'm so fucking cool. Oh my, I felt sweet.
He's actually the most genuinely nice human being on the face of the earth.
The stereotypes of like Jay Hay being a great teammate hold up completely.
Yeah.
Because he is. He's the best. And we talked about that in the interview, but he is the best teammate you could ever ask for. And I think with the shoes, Jeter, he said in the interview, Jeter was his favorite player growing up. So the Jeter Jays probably just hit him right in the heart, too.
No, love that.
Dakota, I did drop you some Parse rum when you were in town. Left it in your car while you were quarantining in your hotel. You have since tried it. Can you give us your Parse rum review, please?
I haven't tried the 3-year yet because I am not really a mixed drink guy lately, you know, trying to cut out that sugar. The 8-year and 12-year were fantastic. I put a big dent into the 12-year last night while watching UFC, and it is delicious. It actually... Ian, we both said it tastes kind of like whiskey almost.
You know what I found out is that it's aged in charred oak barrels like whiskey, like their former whiskey barrels. So the once held whiskey, they age them in charred oak barrels, and that's why it has the color and the whiskey taste. And I think that's why I love it so much.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely the best rum I've ever had. That's for sure.
I tell people this because people, like, since we have the sponsor, people reach out and be like, Parse rum, what is that? Like, where do you? And I tell people, I'm like, seriously, you need to try it because it is different than any other rum or anything that you've thought about rum in the past.
Yes, 100%.
Dakota, will you start with your worst and best?
The worst part of my day today was probably the fact that at the field, we don't have a microwave to be able to heat up our food. So the lunch I ate was chicken and it was cold chicken. It was still decent, but no one really likes cold food that's supposed to be hot. So yeah, if that's the worst part of your day, though, it's not a bad day.
Dakota, what are the chances that one of the Compound fans is like, hey, let's send Dakota a microwave in South Bend?
I think it's much more likely that if you were to say that, they'd send one to you. I don't think they would send one to me.
You know who's definitely not going to send one? Is that Hey
on Twitter.
Is Hey, it's Hill. Bobby bagged you on Twitter.
I'm done with that chick. That chick, ugh.
She absolutely put you in a body bag.
It was just rude. That's all it was. It was just rude. It's fine.
There's no time like this too, you know?
The thing is, like I said, I'm a great self-evaluator. I'm a 6.2. I'm not overselling myself here. I'm a very average looking guy. But saying it on Twitter, I'm a face for radio, just rude.
You're the face of the franchise to me, Dakota.
You're lying to me. But I'm going to go to the best part of my day now.
But maybe the future face of Parse Rum. Who says no?
Who says no?
I think a lot of people say no because that just doesn't make sense.
All right, best part of your day.
The best part of my day was probably... Oh, I know it. I got to shag today. I actually love shagging, especially when there's not that many position players. So I literally get the run of the outfield and I live to make plays because I still have aspirations of being a two-way without hitting. I'd get DH4, but play center field.
Love that move.
I want it. My dream is still to play in the outfield in a professional game. That's
great. I felt like you were actually disappointed when I would come out to center to do my outfield work and you had to move and not catch fly balls.
Disappointed is the wrong word. I'd actually say pissed because the thing is, the position players will go for like one out of every five and the other four just drop. And I'm like, I would have caught all five of those because I'm going to go for everything. You guys are lazy.
Outfielders are lazy.
Yeah, that's true. Not infielders. Infielders work their butts off.
Pitchers definitely not lazy. Zach, go ahead.
I'm an athlete.
Worst part of my day was not having Dakota on the interview today.
Wow. You know, that one hits at home, man. That one, I felt that. Thank you.
No problem. Best part of my day was a round of golf I played. Solid all the way around.
Yeah. I want to go back through our 20 episodes and see if there's a single one where one of Zach's worst or best didn't have to do with golf. I don't know if there's a single one.
There might not be.
I could change my worst. My plus handicap is no longer there.
You already had your worst, though. It's okay. We'll stick with that one.
The worst part of my day was we were setting up for the interview with Jason, and this was the first time we were using a new technology, and I really wanted to have the golf on the television because there was this sick playoff, like sick end of the round. The golf wasn't on TV because they had to start early, so I missed it. So that was the worst part of my day. The best part of my day was, you know what? I finally took like a very good batting practice today, because much like when we talked to Riz, you watch the first group of BP hit, Willie and KB and Javi and Schwarber. And these guys are launching balls 20 rows deep. And so then I get up and I'm like, if I'm not hitting balls 20 rows deep, I stink. So then I try to swing hard and my BP is terrible. So I finally took a nice round of BP where I was just like, relaxed and finding barrels and not trying to hit homers.
I think I took when we were all in Arizona still, I think I took a round of flips with Schwarber on the field, and that we were in the same group, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be sick to see how he kind of goes about his work and flips. And it was so miserable just watching him paint balls off of the net in right center field off of flips.
Ian, what you need to realize is that you just need to get on base so they can hit those home runs. You don't need to hit the home runs, just get on base.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to win any home run derbies out here, you know? I just want to find a few barrels. That's
all I'm trying to do. You were the quickest rookie Cub to 20 homers.
Yeah, but by accident. But I just find enough barrels to get a couple to go out of the yard.
You do the dirty work, work the count full, foul a couple off, give Riz a couple extra looks at what's coming, or whoever's sitting behind you, Jay, hey, Schwarber, and just then they can see it and they can hit it out of the park. So you're welcome. That's what you do. You're a table setter. Ever heard of it, Zach?
Table setter.
Can't we just be throwing that word around, Dakota?
Do either of you have an is that so moment of the week?
Yep, I believe I do.
I have one as well, one sack's done. Just thought of it.
You mentioned it before, how you delivered Dakota some Parse rum. Didn't even bring it up to me. I would like to try it. That's so. That's so.
The fact he'd have to go through shipping it that he doesn't want to.
Because you were so gracious and bought quarantine coffee, I will make sure that by the time that quarantine coffee is there, you will also have some delicious Parse rum to go along with it.
I got 2-day shipping, so better step on it.
We're overnighting it tomorrow, so that it'll be there on Tuesday.
We'll see.
I actually have an is that so too. So they like, obviously our apartments are furnished, and they like kept going back and forth on what we were going to get in the apartment, what we weren't going to get. They kept saying like, we're not going to get a TV, but we'll have a cable box. So like the day they hooked up our Wi-Fi and our cable box, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to Best Buy and buy a TV. So I went and bought a nice little 32-inch Fire Stick, Fire TV edition, whatever. I don't know what it's called. It's one with the apps where you can watch Hulu and all that. And then the next day in the locker room, I find out, hey, we actually are going to give you guys TVs. Who wants one? I said, well, is that so? It's a little too late for that. I already bought one. I'm not making another trip to return it. No thanks.
So did you kind of tell them that you're good for it? Like, you don't even care. You got a TV and you're not going to even take the time to go back and return it.
No, that was the thing. They gave me shit too when I said that. I said, well, I just bought one. They're like, oh, well, we get it. If you got the money for it. I'm like, well, you guys told me we weren't getting one. I had to make a trip. I ordered the TV. I went and picked it up. I'm not going through the process of returning it now, packaging it back up, doing all that. Like, I'm not dealing with it. It was like $120. And I don't have a TV. Like, I don't own a TV myself anyway. So I'm like, well, I might as well just have this one and I'll have it forever.
Yeah, you're good for it. All right, let's jump into the Jay Hay interview, former World Series champion. Here it is, Jason Hayward. I just want to start by saying that Jay Hay is raking right now. Just lacing baseballs all over the place.
It had to have been during quarantine when we were hitting at Sloan and on the backfield.
Yeah.
When was the last time Jay Hay was on field too?
All I needed was to get blown up a couple times back there to get me really locked in for Wrigley, right? Oh, man.
I'm not having the same experience with the immediate locked in-ness. It's not good. Yeah, it's not going that well.
He's freaking out. He's panicking.
Post says don't use the P word, but
sorry,
I'm using the P word. Bro.
No,
we can get him on the podcast to talk about it then.
I know, we need to. Jay, you're raking. Can you tell us a little bit about how the experience has been just coming back, the protocols, wearing a mask, it's definitely different. But like from your perspective, getting ready and shoot, we have 2 weeks left now.
I mean, I just think I knew once we got, you know, banged in spring training, once it was like, all right, you know, let's shut this down, you know, figure out how we're going to do this, if we're going to do it. I just knew that it was not going to be normal, you know, if we got to play again. So I just mentally prepared myself for that, right? And just also told myself to remember to have fun and to remember that there are worse places to be when we're talking about coming back from a quarantine. Like, we get to do this at Wrigley.
And, which is awesome.
You know, it's awesome. The organization, you know, they try and meet us more than halfway. So that's the start, you know, just of, you know, understanding that process and being somewhere else. I think we all kind of talked about that. On the baseball side, I'm just trying to get ready to hit, starting, you know, in the box. I know that there's going to be times in this where it's going to be weird, but I want to embrace that. I want to make myself have to get ready to play a game without knowing who's pitching, without being able to watch video. And when I watch video, I'm looking for a trajectory on the pitches, you know, his two-seam run, four-seam carry, how his curveball comes out, that kind of stuff. That's all the stuff I'm trying to kind of do without to get ready for this season. Yeah. It's going to be a 60-game sprint.
The first thing that I tried to remind myself was like, hey, if this was a normal spring training, we'd be like just starting live BPs or like a couple of days into live BPs. Not this one. We're in 8-inning games.
See, and the thing is, like what Jay said, you know, like it's a 60-game sprint, obviously, and you know, you're going to go through some things that are weird, and it's like, everybody has to go through this shit. You might feel weird one day, but it's like, guess what? Everybody else is going through it too. So it's like, you got to find a way, you know, to go through that scouting report when you don't have all day to look at it. You know, you're only facing a guy once instead of, you know, in August or July, whatever we're in right now, and you've seen a guy five times already, you know?
Facts.
Do you think it's hard to face your teammates?
I think it is hard to face teammates, but at the same time, I think I'm just taking it back to like my only recollection of this, which is high school.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, all right, let's go play baseball and we don't care. So I just, you know, try to stay on that, on the bright side of it, man. Like, I know everyone's in a different situation. You know, this is year 11 for me, full season. So I have, you know, some more experiences with myself personally when I'm going back out here and getting back on the field. I know what I'm trying to tap into. But so I know it's hard. That's why, you know, I sent you a text just asking you how things are going. You know, and I want to chop it up with you just to see, because I can only imagine. For someone like yourself, for younger guys, and younger in their career, not necessarily, you know, in age, bro. Like, it's hard to know what you're looking for in every situation, but this is just something that you're going to keep building, bro. And like I told you in, I don't know if it was March or April, whatever, like, everything's going to be A-okay. Just keep pushing. You're working hard. You're working smart. You don't know what you don't know.
That's why Jay's a great teammate right there. I actually had it written down to ask. I think anybody that's played with Jason would say, like, A-plus teammate, one of the best they've ever played with. Like, what do you think goes into being a great teammate or like being there for the boys? Like, what the guys that you've played with, because shit, you've played with some dudes. We were talking about it by the cage in spring training. We were like, we were making a list of all the guys Jason's like played with or played against. It was like, wow.
It's pretty sick. You know, I think the combination of everything, for one, when it comes to on the field, just understanding like everyone's position. I know I'm left-handed. I know I can only play a few spots, but I do know what goes into every day for guys preparing for that. So I respect that grind. But just being taught early, honestly, knowing how hard it is for a catcher to go back there every day and appreciating them blocking a ball up. And so I think knowing how to communicate on a daily basis, respecting everyone's grind, trying to bring what I can, same guy every day, go 4-for-4 or go 0-for-4. I've just seen, like you said, I play with a lot of great dudes. I've seen that go well, and I've seen that go the other way. So I just try to carry that with me and understand that me being who I am, like, I'm going to affect the team. You know, if I do go out there and get pissed or do carry my at-bats into the field, and that's something that I don't want to ever have happen, because I am one of the guys who can go out there in right field and play defense and just affect the team. So I think it's just lead by example. Jeter's been my favorite player, one of my favorite players since I became a baseball fan. And I just love family, love team, love that environment, man. It's fun to go to work, been on a lot of good winning teams. Sorry to get long-winded, but that's the passion inside of going to work every day with a good group.
But, you know, obviously I've never, you know, been up to the big leagues, but, like, whenever your name gets brought up, even in low A, high A, whatever, it's like Jason Hayward, you know, the first thing that comes out of anybody's mouth is how great of a teammate you are. And, you know, last year was my first year in camp. And even this year, you know, like, I mean, we haven't gotten to talk to each other too much, right. But like, you know, every day that one of us would walk in, you would make sure to say hi to everybody. And, you know, coming from me as a younger guy, you know, like that carries a lot of weight, obviously, you know, the younger guy looking up to somebody like you every single day in spring training, you know, just a simple, you know, what's going on? How's your day going? Yeah. Whatever. And like, that shit goes a long way.
Bro, I've been in you guys' shoes. You know, I was 20 years old my first year. No, regardless of who I got to play with, I was still, you know, I mean, I understand. I respect and appreciate the hell out of that because, bro, I walked in the clubhouse and it was like, all right, be seen, not heard, you know? So, you know, and it took what, like almost the first half of the season for Troy Gloss to finally say, all right, Jay, like, you're good, bro. You don't have to be the last one getting on the plane, you know, anymore. So, no, I think it's huge, man, to have everybody be included. Everybody feel like, you know, regardless of where you are, I get it. We all have to earn our stripes, but you got to be included, man, to be a part of a winning environment. And I think that's what should be put first over everything.
Our other host, Dakota, who is in South Bend and currently practicing right now, couldn't make it. This goes right along. You wanted to share a story of he came in the clubhouse and was wearing his Jeter edition Jays.
Yeah.
And you said, like, dope Jays, man. And he was like, that's the coolest thing that's ever happened to him. He was like, felt like he was the coolest dude ever. So it's like little things like that go a long way. And Jay doesn't even, it's nothing to him, but it means a lot to other guys. I wanted to ask about the city of Chicago, because I know how much the city means to guys that play here. And I don't know if fans always get to feel that from guys, but like, you've made such an effort to give back to the community, especially in this time. Like, you've given back to what, 3 or 4 different organizations, just doing so much in Chicago. And I know, you know, you living here and having a place here, it's important to you. So just talk about Chicago, like what it means to you.
And, you know, I've had a lot of firsts here. Even my first year coming here, my rookie season, I had first 2 home run game, first grand slam here. All these things on the field were awesome. But just coming out onto the field, seeing Wrigley, seeing what the fans are about, you know, seeing that even though there was a team on the field that wasn't winning in the Cubs at the time, they still came out. They still showed support. They still got hype, you know, for positivity. And playing in 2 other cities before this one, you know, it's nice to have that perspective. And it's nice to appreciate that because it's not always going to be about winning. I think, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant can tell us all something about that. Hanging in there with the Lakers for his whole career, they didn't always win, but he was proud of the way they did it. So to me, this city does it the right way in that aspect when it comes to supporting their sports teams, especially the Cubbies. But then when you walk around and you see just the joy and appreciation people have for when summertime Shy hits, you know, they just make the most of everything here to me. You know, when you talk about giving back to organizations, it's awesome to see – you know, people just pull together and come together in the city. I think there's a lot of pride in that. When, you know, it does get a lot of negativity at times in the media about shootings and killings and things like that, but there are a lot of people here that are willing to put in that work and openly talk about it, even though it's not always easy to.
And Chicago is a place that people do come together. The people here are so nice. They care so much. And it is the best summer city in the world, hands down.
Hands down.
Not even a question.
What did Riz say the one day when he got back to Chicago after Florida? He was like, "So everyone's so nice to me here." He was like walking around. He was like, "The hell's going on?" You know, coming from Florida, where everybody was coming after him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He was like, "People in Florida, not that nice. People here, everybody loves me." I was like, "Yeah, Riz, everybody loves you, bro."
Yeah, Tony, you're like Adam Sandler here, bro. Like I remember, you know, meeting Tony somewhere out. Like we were just gonna watch a fight real quick. Have some drinks and some food. And this dude's wearing like sweatpants, a hoodie, and it's like Florida State stuff, I think, or something like that. Like a mix of like just the plain Jane outfit. And I'm like, look at this guy.
You know,
like
he doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but everybody's like, Tony, let me take a picture with you. Let me give you a hug. Like everyone can't do that anywhere.
No, he's like the king. He's just the sea parts when he walks around here.
Everybody loves what he did the other day during your guys' scrimmage when he was out in the bleachers.
Everybody loved that.
No, they loved it. And I mean, it's just to me as a teammate, playing with him, there's a lot of things that I do on a daily basis that I obviously take very serious, and you know, I get prepared, I get hyped, psych yourself out vibe. But then there's the other side of that. Tony does the same thing, but in different ways at times. You know, he gets crazy, goes crazy as well, and gets locked in, but bro, he has fun. He embraces the moment and doesn't let those times just pass by.
That's why he's so good, is because he embraces every single moment. Right. And he actually enjoys when he's terrible too. I think part of him enjoys when he's hitting 200 in April.
Yeah, he fake hates that.
Yeah.
He fake hates it.
Because he knows at the end of the year it's going to look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Dakota had one question. It was he wanted to know who had your number, the guy that you least want to face if the game's on the line. This could be like historically too.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple dudes, and I'll just say them because – well, I'll say there's three total, but because a couple of them are relievers. One was early in my career. Pedro Feliciano, who used to be with the Mets, bro, sidearm lefty. At the time, like he still threw like 90, 92. Then he had like the 84 slider, dropped down. And my only knock against him was a broken bat, carrying the bat down the line. Like it just hugged the inside of the line. David Wright was playing third and he lobbed it over there, infield hit. But like that's the best I could do against him. Javier Lopez. When he was with Pittsburgh, he would drop down. He would throw 93 four seams. Oh. Then when he got to San Francisco, it was over. Like, bro, he said, all right, I'm going to throw 80 poo now. I'm going to throw 85, 86, drop down, like two seam, no four seam. But my eyes would twitch like every time, you know, he threw me first pitch. I'm like, all right, well, strike one, you know, you got to give him that. Let's go to work. And I don't think I've got any hits off of him in a San Francisco Giant uniform. And as a starter, bro, like, I don't want to say surprisingly, but like, one of those names that everybody wouldn't really recognize. You got to give this dude credit, Tanner Roark. I think
Tanner.
Since I faced him for the first time with the Nationals early in his career, I don't have any hits against him. Might have some, that's a good miss. Attaboy, like, you know, stay inside it, nice swipe, whatever. But no hits, a couple punchies, and just a lot of going back to the dugout.
I hope Tanner Roark hears that because that's that's a huge compliment. Who is the closer for the Mets? K-Rod.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you rake K-Rod?
I did not rake K-Rod, but I felt like the way our lineup was set in Atlanta, I didn't have to get to him in too many big spots. He would sometimes throw the changeup, obviously, and be falling off the mound, but then he would throw the same arm action, 96, front hip, two seam. Mm. But I think I fortunately for myself got to him when he had some injuries, so I didn't get to see too much of him.
That he was always my favorite reliever. Like when we were growing up, I was like, K-Rod, this guy is sick. He had that like open stance leg kick.
I have a memory from him when A-Rod, they're playing the Yankees, and A-Rod popped up to Luis Castillo and he dropped the ball and K-Rod was pitching. I'm pretty sure it was him. He pointed up, and that was like the last memory I had, because I put my head, I was like, all right, sick, you know, Mets win. And then all of a sudden you hear the announcer's just going absolutely nuts, and then like K-Rod biting his glove.
That was a hell of a highlight. I remember that one. I'll never forget that, especially being in New York, bro. That's unbelievable.
Speaking of, you know, highlight, you know, you can go, obviously, it's kind of cliche, but, you know, your first big league AB, you know, I've seen that on every highlight that I've watched on YouTube my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has to be the most surreal thing in the world.
Wait, real quick, Zach, do you remember where you were when you saw that highlight? Because I remember, like, literally, it was 2011, right?
2010.
Mm-hmm. I was a sophomore in high school. I remember like coming home and that being like the biggest highlight ever, because 20 years old.
20.
In the big leagues, first AB, yep. Hometown kid, homer.
I remember it because we were going to Georgia, I think, that year to play in some tournament or something. And like, I mean, Jay's name was everywhere. And then it happened to be, you know, that he debuts that year in Atlanta and hits a homer, and it's just like, all right, script's written.
All right, now you can tell us about it.
I appreciate leading up to that.
We like it more than you do.
I mean, it was just, for me, bro, there was so much going on, and I feel like every year that goes by now when I'm playing this game, I'm just like, what the hell was that day, right? Because just the build-up to it, choosing my number from a high school teammate, his mom being able to make it to that game, of course, being from Georgia, growing up, riding past this stadium saying, I'm going to play there one day, not knowing it would be for that team. Mm-hmm. So just family being there. You know, when I get to the plate, when I'm on deck, sorry, I'm watching us come back from being down 3-0 against the Cubbies. You know, go figure, we're playing the Cubs.
Yeah.
And we tied up 3-3. And Chipper comes across the plate. He scores. And before the game started, Chipper's telling me, he's like, hey, same game, 60 feet, 6 inches. It's 90 feet between the bases. It is what it is, bro. Just go play baseball. Like, super chill, walks off. Bro, he comes across the plate. He's like, hey, let's go. Let's go. Come on. I'm like, what happened to what you just said inside, man? Like, that's not what you just said. Not with that tone at all. So I'm coming up, first at bat, caught the first pitch from Hank Aaron before the game. I'm not even thinking about, like, what that is or anything like that. I'm just like, all right, this is cool, but, like, we got a game to play. I'm coming up to the plate, and I think man on first and second, Big Z on the mound, throwing hard. And I'm just super chill, just super relaxed. Like, all right, bro, like, do not try and do too much right here. Just get ready to hit. Try and find your rhythm. Ball one, up and in. Ball two, up and in. And I'm like, all right, we're ahead. Let's get ready to hit. To be honest, that had to be the easiest swing of my career to this date. And go figure, that ball, I think, went the furthest homer I've had. And I didn't realize all that playing out as it was happening. Like, I look back, I'm like, bro, like, that ball went that far? Like, the back of the bullpen at Turner Field? Like, nobody hits a ball back there, let alone in a game. You know, one of the cool moments for me was obviously running the bases and just feeling the stadium shaking. Obviously, it was like people were surprised. Not necessarily surprised at a homer, but just surprised. Like, okay, this time it happened, first at bat, your first swing. You're from here. And not being able to hear myself think. And then after that game, I find out and I get to watch the video over. You know, I see my dad in the stands. They show him leading up to the pitch. After the ball goes out, they go back to him and he fell down like in his seat. So like you see him standing back up, like high-fiving people. And then I find out my best friends didn't make it to their seats yet. They made it to the game. So where the bullpen is, there's a couple levels where people can stand there for standing room only. They were on the second level and they watched the ball go right below them. Like my best friends in life. So it was crazy just hearing everybody's story and hearing their moment, a part of, you know, my moment and the team's moment. So it was awesome, obviously, to hit that homer. But to me, all I cared about was like, bro, like, we're winning now.
Yeah.
It's 6-3. I'm thinking, all right, this is not a good way to start your first game. We're down 3-0. Now we're up 6-3. So it was a lot of good. And the biggest thing for me, of course, we won.
So did it take you until after the game, like being at home, sitting down, like seeing the highlight to like let it sink in?
Bro, it still hasn't sunk in.
Like, I was going to say, being honest, like, how does something like that sink in?
It won't sink in until I'm done playing. I mean, much like winning the World Series, I know it's different moments and different kind of achievements. But when I got to first base later that game, I think I hit a single. And D. Lee, who I got to play with, he got traded to the Braves later that season from the Cubbies. Well, he's like, hey, man, congratulations. And, like, I didn't hear anything. I'm like, all right, just get over here, get your lead. Like, this is my first time having to be on base.
Don't get picked off.
Right. And I was like, wait, huh? He was like, hey, man, I'm saying, congratulations. Like, it was awesome homer. I was like, oh, shit, thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Like, head spinning, you know, just not really even thinking about anything. Just floating, happy to play the game. You know how it is, guys. Like, being around some of your idols, being around so many dudes that came before me. So it was surreal. It's always going to be that way. But, again, more days go by, I just feel like it was even harder and harder realizing, like, what happened there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's a crazy thing that you say. Like, Nico, we were talking to Nico a few weeks or months ago, whatever, and he was saying like the coolest thing for him was even in a spring training game this year or last year, whenever it was, like Pujols was playing first base and he gets a lead and he's just like, holy shit, like it's Albert Pujols standing right next to me, you know? Right. And it's just like the fact that happened to you, you know, your first game and it's Derek Lee, you're just like,
bro, you're out there on the field with your damn baseball cards. Like,
yeah.
Like when I started batting second that year, that first game I was hitting seventh. Later in that year, I started to bat second. And Chipper was hitting third, I believe. Bro, I'm like looking behind me. Sometimes I foul a pitch back and I just see this man looking at me like, yep, attaboy, come on. Or like sometimes like, what the hell are you doing? You know, like it's my baseball card back here doing this shit. So it was something that I'll never forget. Hometown, teammates, some guys, and Bobby Cox was my manager my first year. So it's all surreal. This game keeps on giving.
I mean, you've just seen so much shit in the last 11 years and it's absolutely remarable.
I appreciate it, bro.
When we were going through the list of guys that he's played with or against, like we could do a whole episode on that list. That's how long it was.
Well, I got a shout out. I don't even want to say shout out because I'm a competitor, but Buster Posey, bro. So we played against his team my sophomore year, his senior year in the state championship. And that series was crazy series. My high school team won that series. You know, awesome, whatever. We were in Lee County. Their fans showed out. Buster got out one time that series in 3-game set, and he flew out to the warning track. I was pitching one time. Like, I think I walked him first time. He flew out to the warning track. Like, our guy caught it on the fence. Every other bat, knock, like something big. It's just, like, unbelievable. the last out of that series, he was on deck. We turned a double play. Like, if he gets to the plate, for sure they win. We won by two. But fast forwarding to him in the major leagues, bro, like, got to play against him in my first playoff series. This dude is unbelievable. He's another Georgia dude. And just seeing him win 3 out of 5, like, you talk about guys you played against and just a new gaining, you know, respect, like him and Bumgarner, unbelievable.
Yeah, legends.
And those are some of my guys that, like, just playing against him at an early age and being from the East Coast, watching the game, you know, show them love, but them just kind of dominate, bro, it's unreal.
I got a good Buster story. So my brother, Chris, played at Duquesne.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Buster were around the same age. They go play Florida State. My brother's a freshman. I think Buster's a sophomore at the time, maybe. And so we go down for the series. Chris's mm-hmm. first college series. We're like, Florida State, this is awesome. We see some scout in the parking lot. And I don't know how my parents got to talking with him, but they're like, yeah, we're here to watch Buster Posey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Buster Posey, what a name. I don't know who that is. Watch this series. This dude doesn't get out. Like, the Duquesne Dukes were his favorite team he's ever hit against. He had like 800 doubles and 7 homers in the series. And it was just like, this guy's going to be so good.
Crazy.
He was a shortstop in college too. Bro,
he played some third, played some short. I think he had some back spasms, but he even pitched on the mound. He threw 91 that year we faced him in high school. And we only won that game 2-1. Like, it was pitcher's duel. But he knew everything, bro. Like, to me, he's been like the Peyton Manning of baseball since high school and just gone on and just had fun and made his video game.
Yeah, I got in the box against him like one of the first times. And I was like, hey, Buster, how you doing? Like, my brother played against you at college, like, saw you play.
Yeah.
Like, when you were at Florida State, he was like, man, that makes me feel old. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
It kind of sucks, you know, like, the career he's had, you know, like what Jay said, he's won 3 out of 5 or whatever. And it's like, you kind of, their team struggles towards the end of his career. You know, they kind of, you know, tail off a little bit. And it kind of sucks. You kind of, like, you forget of how dominant they were, right, especially in baseball, where it's so hard to be dominant. But like, mm-hmm. that era that they were winning in was just, it's sickening to think and about.
As a right-handed hitter at that ballpark, yeah, what he was able to do,
yeah,
that's insane. Like, it'll probably take a few years after his career for people to really appreciate how good he was in that ballpark, mm-hmm. in this era for that long.
Well, it goes to show you how hard this game is, how much of a toll winning takes on your team, on your body, on the franchise. And then it also shows you expectation, all those things that keep us hungry to work towards here in Chicago. Right.
That was number 22, Jason Hayward, joining the Compound Podcast. Thanks for coming on, Jay.
Favorite teammate that I've never played with.
No offense to all the other guys on the Cubs roster right now.
Yeah, seriously, Zach, come on. Jay was pretty humble about how much he's done for the city of Chicago, which fits with Jason because he is a humble guy. But the amount that he's given back to the city, we talked about that he's, you know, given back to 4 different charities or whatever, like the food bank, mask. He's helping out the city. He's very involved. And it's really cool to see. I know how much, just talking to him, I know how much he loves the city. So I wanted to make sure that got across.
When this first kind of happened, I remember he was one of the first guys that I saw on social media that was stepping up and donating to whatever charity. I forgot which one it was, you know, and it was...
That was... He did the food bank and mask like right away
right, and I remember that was awesome.
Yeah, and he always does his donations very quietly. It's something that I appreciate how much he gives back to the city and how much he cares, because he really does value this as his home, and I think that's really cool.
It's awesome.
Isn't it crazy, you know, we talked about how much he's seen, how many guys he's played with, how many teams he's been on, how adopted by Chicago he was and how into it he is.
It's insane. His dog, he's got his first dog, his name's Shy. Like,
yeah,
he's invested in the city. People here love him. I'll say, like, going out with him, he was talking about how going out with Riz, and everybody loves Riz. Yeah, everybody loves Riz. But, like, going out with Jason, like, people know him in this city very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And, like, he, you know, he lives in the center of town, and you know, he goes out to eat. And it just, when it's a normal summer, people definitely know who Jason Hayward is here, because he was such a, you know, big part of the winning teams for the last few years. A Jason Hayward fun fact is, he said this is his 11th year, right?
What the fuck?
What were you going to say?
That's what I was going to say. It was
what,
like,
was
how he subtly brought up that he was this is his 11th full year. And I was just like, it's just nuts to think about.
Well, yes.
It was going to be delivered a little bit different.
It is nuts to think about because he was 20 when he got to the league, which is crazy in itself. But the other part of that is this is his 11th year in the league. I think he's been to the playoffs 8 times in 10 years. I think last year when we didn't make the playoffs, it was his second time ever not making the playoffs.
That's absolutely
That insane. Is crazy. The guy just wins. He just wins everywhere he goes.
And it shows how hard it is to win a World Series. He has one, right?
He has one.
Yeah.
On all those amazing Braves teams he was on, right. On the Cubby teams that were winning 9,500 games, like winning a World Series is tough. Before we go for screen times, let's do a quick shout out to Obvious Shirts because we have an Is That So shirt that dropped last week. We have Baseball is Back. We have 60 Game Sprints. We have I Like the Compound podcast. We have I Wish I Quarantined the Compound. Jason Kipnis wore an Ian Happ Makes Me Coffee shirt on the field. Go check out all the shirts, obviousshirts.com. Tell me your screen time.
5 hours and 40 minutes.
That's high. That you just tossed that in there like it was nothing.
It's 11:30 at night, and I had my 18 birdies app going today. Sue me.
4 hours and 2 minutes.
And I'm an hour ahead of you here.
I am also on the East Coast.
Fuck.
I have 2 hours and 43 minutes because I'm not addicted to my phone like you guys.
No, when you go to the field, you're at the field for like 7 hours. When we're at the field, they make us get in and out in 3 tops. We also only have 11 guys. You have 39, so ours goes very fast. So I'm sitting in the apartment all day.
A lot of excuses coming from you too.
It's not an those aren't Zach's is a very valid one as well. I know from experience the 18 birdies apps is basically like, well, here's 3 hours of screen time because this is just sitting up on my phone the whole time.
Last thing before we go, if you're in Chicagoland and you'd like to pick up some Parse rum because it's wonderful and Dakota loves it.
Are you about to give out your address to hand them free rum?
No, it's at Benny's. Benny's is like the do you have Benny's in Michigan?
Never heard of it.
Benny's is like the, I guess, liquor store, like the biggest liquor store in Chicago. What's the biggest liquor store? It's like the grocery store. Like it's like here, it's Joel Osco. What's in Michigan? What's the liquor store in Michigan where you would go if you had to go get liquor?
It's a little hometown one, you know, Shop Local that I go to.
Shop Local and Jesus Christ.
You guys don't have like a big liquor store? I'm trying to think of what it was in.
I mean, like the grocery stores sell booze like Meijer.
In Texas, it would be like Twin Liquors. You guys, I mean, there's not like one big liquor store?
Honestly, not that I can think of, no.
Well, in Chicago, it's Benny's. And if you go to Benny's, they have Parse rum. They have it at most Whole Foods. And they have it at local shops like what you're talking about, Dakota. But go pick up some Parse rum. Go check it out. Dakota loves it. Dakota, tell the people what they need to do.
I haven't done that in a couple episodes, though.
I know. When you need to remind them because obviously people aren't liking and subscribing enough.
Yeah, they've probably forgot that they need to like, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Well, the thing is, by now, those people that have broken their thumbs have probably had time to get surgery, so they should be back to doing it again. And that's why we're going to tell you to keep doing it. Like, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe.
Rate 5 stars.
Rate 5 stars as well. Yes, please. Thank you.
That's episode 20, the big 2-0 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Definitely not 100%, definitely not coming to you live from the Compound.